You're listening to Song Exploder, where musicians take apart their songs and piece by piece tell the story of how they were made. I'm Hrishikesh Hirway. This episode is brought to you by Progressive, home of the Name Your Price tool. You say how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. It's easy to start a quote. Visit progressive.com to get started. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Summer Elaine and Drunk Dory is a song on Weezer's 10th album, the self-titled White Album, which came out on April 1st, 2016. For this episode, I spoke to Weezer's frontman, Rivers Cuomo, at his home studio in Santa Monica. He showed me all the different demo versions that this song went through, as he detailed his meticulous process, which includes an array of spreadsheets that he uses to collect, analyze, and harvest his ideas. My name's Hrishikesh Hirway. You're listening to Song Exploder.
My name is Rivers Cuomo. I play electric guitar and I sing.
One of the first things I did was I looked in my Spotify playlist that is a collection of songs I've heard that have cool chord progressions. I'm going to go back and basically farm those songs for cool chord progressions. So I looked in there and there's a song called Walk Away Renee by The Left Banc. And then I kind of go back and replay it like Weezer style with my distorted guitar.
I noticed that the file name of this first demo that Rivers was playing was called Awaken Early. I asked him where that name came from.
We want the identity of the original song to be obscured, so I'm not influenced by it when I'm writing my own melody. Yet we wanted the working title to resemble the original title so that if for some reason, say for example, we're on Song Exploder someday and we want to go back and find that original song, we can kind of make it out from the working title. We use an anagram generator online. So Walk Away Renee became Awaken Early. Now, when I come back looking for a chord progression to write over some weeks later, I don't see the original name of the song, so I'm not reminded of the original tune. All I have to listen to is my distorted guitar playing this really beautiful chord progression, and I don't remember where it came from. And then I'll do like just vocal improvisation over the guitar chords until I come up with a cool melody. Just like singing and scatting and searching for a melody that makes me feel great. You see all these walls are mirrored behind you so I can, you know, do all these crazy poses and stuff, but get in the mood. I always have to have like all the doors sealed up. I put a do not disturb sign out there. And there's like a lot of really embarrassing stuff on those recordings.
Anybody? Mm-mm.
Sometimes I feel like on a piano or a guitar, I can come up with melodies that are even a little stronger, a little more dramatic, and sometimes it's because on a piano you can play a melody that's harder to sing. So if you hear something, you can get it out on a big octave jump on the piano or something that you're. Your vocal muscles just might be a little too lazy to think of. I don't have a lot of facility on the piano, so I can kind of tell what melody I want to play, but I'm stumbling, playing a lot of wrong notes, feeling around for it.
It's the right time, but it's the right time. nighttime and a in a row. Oh 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 oh.
So now I got the melody, chord progression and melody for a chorus. And I'm reminded of a quote from Lady Gaga who said something like, when you're writing, just start with the chorus, because if the chorus isn't great, then you're screwed anyway. I have a spreadsheet of song titles, hundreds and hundreds of song titles, and I'm always adding to it. Sometimes it's a thought I have, something I want to say that comes out as a song title, or I hear somebody say something, and that's what happened in this case. It was the last day of school, last day of my daughter's second grade. They were having a party by a pool at one of the kids' house, and my daughter's teacher was there, and she was drinking white wine and talking to some of the other moms there. She told the story that her husband has two names for her. There's the school year Elaine, who's super stressed out and scary. And then there's summer Elaine, who's totally relaxed and fun. And this is the last day of school, so she's turning into summer Elaine. And then one of the other moms was there and said, oh yeah, my husband has two names for me. And the second one of which is Drunk Dory, because when I drink, I'm tons of fun. So my songwriter radar started beeping like crazy, Summer Elaine and Drunk Dory. I put it in my phone and ended up in my spreadsheet. And then I open up this chord progression and this melody that I love, and I look over my spreadsheet of song title ideas. First of all, I have to find one that's roughly the right number of syllables and with the right accents on the right syllables. And I identify those ones, and then I just start singing them and seeing which ones have the right chemistry with the melody and the chord progression. Summer Elaine, it was a little bit of an awkward fit, and I was anxious about that at first, because summer is strong, weak, but the melody is like, bum, bum, weak, strong, da, da, na, 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 na. So you can definitely get away with stuff like that, but at the very top of a chorus, the more natural it all flows, usually the better. That then it becomes a singer's job to like really make it feel natural and sell it and make it interesting.
Summer Elaine and Drunk Dory, when I'm feeling lonely, I don't wanna go, oh, 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 oh.
Okay, so I have another spreadsheet of lines, things I wanna say, or things I've read in a book or heard on a TV show or a movie. A lot of it is taken right out of my journals. I do stream of consciousness in the morning for 25 minutes. I started in 2010 after reading The Artist's Way by Julia Cameron. It's called Morning Pages, which is basically stream of consciousness. So yeah, that's been great. And then I come back at a later time, maybe the next day, with a highlighter, totally detached. I don't really care what I was talking about. I just look for really cool lines. I highlight those. Then they end up in the spreadsheet. But that doesn't mean they're going to end up in a song. It just means I think it's a cool line and it gets in the spreadsheet. So then there's a couple thousand lines. Right now I have them all tagged by how many syllable each line has, if it's accented or unaccented to start, or the last two syllables also, is it strong, weak, or weak, strong, that sort of thing. Everything's tagged and searchable. So I knew I had this melody. Oh, she left me here. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Strong, weak, strong. So I can search for lyrics that have five syllables and start with an accent.
She was out too deep. Oh, she swam away.
So then the answer phrase is six syllables. So I made a long list of lines that would fit there.
When lightning struck the bay. She left me all alone.
It sounds like something happened in my life, and then I observed it, and then I wrote a song about it, and it's coherent. There's a beginning, middle, and end. And that's totally not the case at all. It's each line is from a completely different place, and I just reassembled them in some order that suggests a story that never happened. It's a crazy way to write. This is the way I came up with a guitar solo. Instead of playing the guitar, I sing. Before, I said I come up with a lot of my vocal melodies on the piano or the guitar. the reverse is also true. If I just go to play a solo on a guitar, often it turns into just a wank fest and, you know, like the same old muscle memory licks you've heard a zillion times and it's not interesting. But if I sing it, I'm much more restricted in where I can go and how fast the solo will be. And it's going to have space in it because I have to breathe. And it's going to be something you can sing along to because it was created by a voice. But guitar can go a lot higher than my voice. So when I originally scat the solo, it's in a lower octave. And then I go back and pitch it up an octave because I need to learn it on guitar. So I need to hear it in that higher octave. Yeah, and again, it's like I have all the doors closed and I'm, you know, it's like 100 degrees in here in the summer. There's no AC, shirts off, like jumping around, air guitar.
So Rivers had come up with all the melodies and the words for the song, but there was a problem. The verse melody was pretty low for his voice.
I don't have like a range that's compelling low or super high. There's like the sweet spot where I'm really trying and it sounds good, but it's actually pretty small range. So it gets tricky. So this is the solution. Boy in the bubble, saying I love you, I should. Key change. It seemed totally absurd. Like, you can't do that. I associate modulations in and out of choruses with the 1980s, the pop music that was around when I was a teenager. And it just seems totally verboten for a 90s alt rock band to do that kind of trickery. And because so often it's used to like create some kind of emotion in a really insincere way. But then we tried it in the room on an acoustic guitar, and it was like, yeah, that's really cool. And in a way, it sounds kind of familiar for Weezer, too. I just really love that compositional moment into the chorus and then into the second verse, into the second chorus, and there's all these key changes. And man, I never get to do that, so it's really nice. Brian Bell plays electric guitar and he does backup vocals. Scott Treiner is bass and backup vocals. And Pat Wilson is the drummer. I really appreciate the power of democracy. The songwriter, in this case me, with the best of intentions, can limit the creativity of the other members of the band because you're attached to your original demo, or you had this vision for how you thought it was going to go. And in any case, you're just one brain and you just have this one limited perspective. But politically in the room, you have more power than everyone else. Even with the best of intentions, other people are going to think like, well, I guess he wrote the song, so if he doesn't like what I'm doing, then maybe I shouldn't do it. So it was very helpful for those guys to get time in the studio with our producer, Jake Sinclair. Without me, to come up with their own parts. And I don't hear it until they're done with their parts. Then I get to listen back, and in most cases, I'm just blown away by how cool and fresh and layered and complex everything has become. Jake has worked with each of the four guys separately, recording their parts, really crafting them so they all interlock just perfectly, and it's all very carefully thought through. And what we have is a pretty great recording. What it is lacking is that feeling of spontaneity and background chatter and just off-the-cuff ideas that you get when you have four guys jamming in a room. So we do at least a few takes where it's me, Scott, and Brian all standing around a mic or several mics, and we just do a couple passes through the song where, you know, you can do whatever you want. Crazy sounds, hip-hop ad-libbing,
Witch.
Of course, harmonies, anything that comes to your mind. And we end up with many tracks of all this crazy stuff. I gotta admit, Brian's pretty awesome with these freaky ad libs.
Oh, here
Come
we
back
go.
To me.
If somebody asked me what the song was about, I would say I'm trying to write songs that I don't understand. So if I could answer that question and tell you what it was about, then I failed as a songwriter. I want to enjoy my own songs, and once I feel like I totally understand the song and there's no mystery there, then I can't really enjoy it anymore. So I like to create these enigmatic 3-minute adventures that have me scratching my head for years.
And now, here's Summer Lane and Drunk Dory by Weezer in its entirety.
I got distracted, I suck at getting
Visit songexploder.net for more on Weezer and their White Album, as well as links to Walk Away Renee by The Left Banke and the book The Artist's Way by Julia Cameron. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. How did the biggest names in outlaw country start a musical revolution? Through one woman's vision from one tiny living room. Don't miss Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the outlaw country music movement and its biggest stars. Lovingly dubbed The Boar's Nest, Sue's place was an intimate staging ground where a new breed of singer-songwriters would spur each other on to tap into something bigger, realer. Starring Mandy Moore and featuring Eben Moss Backrack as Shel Silverstein and TJ Osborne as Johnny Cash, alongside a full ensemble cast. Audible invites you to enter The Boar's Nest and experience the rise of a musical revolution. One woman, one time, one place. The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer, and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Listen now at audible.com/theboar'snest. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. How did the biggest names in outlaw country start a musical revolution? Through one woman's vision from one tiny living room. Don't miss Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the outlaw country music movement and its biggest stars. Lovingly dubbed The Boar's Nest, Sue's place was an intimate staging ground where a new breed of singer-songwriters would spur each other on to tap into something bigger, realer. Starring Mandy Moore and featuring Eben Moss Backrack as Shel Silverstein and TJ Osborne as Johnny Cash, alongside a full ensemble cast. Audible invites you to enter The Boar's Nest and experience the rise of a musical revolution. One woman, one time, one place. The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer, and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Listen now at audible.com/theboar'snest. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. How did the biggest names in outlaw country start a musical revolution? Through one woman's vision from one tiny living room. Don't miss Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the outlaw country music movement and its biggest stars. Lovingly dubbed The Boar's Nest, Sue's place was an intimate staging ground where a new breed of singer-songwriters would spur each other on to tap into something bigger, realer. Starring Mandy Moore and featuring Eben Moss Backrack as Shel Silverstein and TJ Osborne as Johnny Cash, alongside a full ensemble cast. Audible invites you to enter The Boar's Nest and experience the rise of a musical revolution. One woman, one time, one place. The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer, and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Listen now at audible.com/theboar'snest. You can find all the past and future episodes of Song Exploder at songexploder.net or on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you download podcasts. Find the show at Song Exploder on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Production assistance on this episode by Eric Bass. Song Exploder is a proud member of the Radiotopia Network from PRX, made possible by the Knight Foundation and MailChimp, celebrating creativity, chaos, and teamwork. Next time on Song Exploder, The Lumineers. My name is Hrishikesh Hirway. Thanks for listening.
When I was young, I should have known better. And I can't feel no remorse. And you don't feel nothing bad.
Radiotopia.
If you're looking for another podcast to listen to, check out Normal Gossip from Radiotopia. They're coming back for their sixth season. If you don't already know the show, they were named one of the best podcasts of the year by Time Magazine and Vulture, and their new season starts April 17th. Normal Gossip is really fun. It's a show about petty and ridiculous and strange stories and the way that we share those stories. The stories that they tell in the podcast are sent in by listeners, and then they're anonymized and then retold to a guest. And then they have to weigh in on the decisions that the people in the story are making. It's very funny and very beloved. So if you aren't already listening, check out the new season, which starts April 17th. You can listen to Normal Gossip wherever you get your podcasts.